It's time.
It's time.
It's time. It's time.
It's time.
Time.
It's time.
Time to think about the things that you otherwise wouldn't say. Lucky for us, these two will say anything.
Come on!
It's time for The Fawcast with Chris Williams and Mark Charter. The Fawcast is powered by Charterhouse Real Estate. Why pay 7% to list your home? Choose the flexible 5 or 6% plan for you at charterhouseiowa.com. Hear more from Mark following this episode.
Listen very carefully.
Shall we do this then?
No, just take it one time.
An audio experience unlike any other starts now.
Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to this week's Fawcast here at Cyclone Fanatic. Of course, we are broadcasting from the Charterhouse Real Estate offices in beautiful Ankeny, Iowa. And this is post-Thanksgiving edition, which means there's a lot of coaching stuff going on. Mark and I are probably going to hash out a lot of that today. What's up with you, Marcus?
There is a lot of coaching stuff going on right now.
So great. I love the silly season, man.
It seems like... this is a great time of year. I mean, you can't help but ignore what's in the news cycle either. It's kind of like, in a depressing way, every morning you're getting up and you're like, who's fired now? That's what it kind of feels like to me.
Are you talking about coaching or are you talking about sexual harassment?
I'm talking about both.
Oh, okay.
No, both, man. It's just kind of like, okay, it's the season to be losing your job.
Everybody's getting canned
right now. But no, a ton of surprising stuff. I mean, we have to talk a little bit about, we can talk a lot about it if you want to, but the Tennessee thing, man, there's a lot to digest there. Obviously, we'd be very remiss to not at least touch on, I'm sure you've done it multiple times by now, but Matt Campbell is hanging around, which is
he is. I saw you passionately request for him to come on the Fawcast. I think we can line that up at some point.
Well, yeah, let's let the guy get through the bowl game.
Yeah, let's get through the bowl game. Let's get through the recruiting season, and then I think we could probably line that up.
Yeah, I think
winter workouts would be a good time for that.
And I hope we get every coach that would ever come on here is going to have a little coach speak. I hope we get reduced coach speak.
So what we need to do, though, with Matt, we need to just go into his office and just chat for a while.
Like, it's just us. Just no one's listening
just
to
get
us.
Him in his zone, yep. and you're better off.
So let me get your take on the contract extension specifically. Your thoughts on that. By the way,
so you texted me the other night while I was on the radio and you were about the buyout. Were you just mocking me?
What did I say?
You said, I want to know what the buyout is.
No, I wanted to know what the buyout was. I wasn't mocking you, no.
There's a reason why I didn't respond to you.
Yeah? I just figured you big time me. I didn't care.
No. I thought you were just giving me crap. Because I'm not kidding. 5 minutes before you sent me that text message, I was just going on a rant on the radio about how Iowa State just got this great news and all my friends are texting me what the buyout information is.
It was almost more relevant than the contract. That's the way that I felt about it.
I disagree with that, but I understand why it's important. Don't get me wrong. I totally understand that.
Yeah.
In his last contract, it was by far the most important thing in it.
Well, the reason it matters to Iowa State fans is we're an insecure bunch.
Correct.
That's why.
And that was my general point is, like, hey, can we just enjoy this for like 2 days and then we're
going
to worry about
the
buyout?
We can't enjoy things at Iowa State. We can't enjoy them at all.
That was my general point.
Yeah. So what was – man, my mic is
You're
going
good.
Nuts.
I got you fixed now.
Okay. What is your general – feel about, you know, the dollars as they're relevant? This guy is going to make, with another successful season, he's going to make over $4 million next year. The buyout is $7 million next year, still very, very high. If he were to win 9-10 games at Iowa State next year, people come calling again, and the buyout's $7 million, which is still a big number. And some things that I read that were interesting are, well, maybe Matt Campbell is actually turning out to be who he said he's going to be. You know, you're reading that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I hope that's true. I mean, again, it's naive of anybody to think Matt Campbell's the coach at Iowa State in 20 years. I think that's foolish to think that given his age. But Is he going to be the coach here for the next 5 years? I think there's a reasonable possibility of that. But, I mean, yeah, your overall take.
I think that this is what I wrote the day after. I feel like, and you're probably a better person to talk to about this than me because you've been around Iowa State longer. I mean, you grew up in Ames.
Yep.
But I feel like for the first time in my life, at least, Iowa State is like 100% committed to being like a real winner in football. With the facilities plus now what they're like, where they're at on the coaching, where they're paying people and stuff. Like, that's not even like a shot at Iowa State or Jamie Pollard. It's more of a point where financially they haven't really been able to. They really weren't able to in the McCartney years. It's like you can pay Dan McCartney and stuff, but you don't have the funds for the facilities and whatnot. Now, you know, that Big 12 money.
I was going to ask you that.
Plus, you know, they're filling up the stadium. Like, there's a lot of reasons why they can do it now, and they are, and that's awesome.
How much of what we're seeing, the spending on new facilities, and I realize they go out and they get donated money for that a lot, but how much of these changes – what we're paying the coach are directly related to the Big 12 money? Because that's huge money. You can't say it's not. It's a big chunk, I would assume, on how they're spending now.
I think, too, that they've gotten a lot of the major facility things done.
Yeah.
And I guess I don't know if they're exactly paid for.
Mm-hmm.
But it's accounted for with, like, what's coming in from the Big 12, you know? So I think that now it's like, okay, well, one of the best investments we can make, in addition to bowling in the end zone, you know, now that that's done, the best investment we can make is winning. And we think this guy is the perfect guy, so we're going to heavily invest in him. I guess that's how I look at this.
I'm reminded of it's, I guess, for most of my life, being the fans, you know, the fan of my two favorite teams has sucked for most of my life, which is the Cubs and Iowa State. But there's some similarities between the two teams in what was a management structure and the way they did business. Back when the Cubs were owned by the Tribune Company, for most of my life, Wrigley Field was a destination, and people would come and drink beer and have fun no matter what was on the field. And they didn't care about the product. They were okay being in last place because the fans would still come. Now, Iowa State wasn't coming to those types of numbers, but Iowa State rarely, even when they stunk, was having an empty stadium. It's just never been that, partially because it's in Ames and it's the thing to do on a Saturday, and that's what you go do. So it's nice when, you know, the Ricketts family took over for the Cubs. They could have kind of kept the status quo, but they said, no, we care about actually winning.
Yeah.
We want a World Series. We're going to do what we need to do to make a World Series happen. Now, what is the equivalent for Iowa State? I don't think it's a national title. I just don't link those two things, but is it a Big 12
title? Don't you feel after this year that a Big 12 title is possible?
Absolutely. There's no way to say it's not possible when you can beat the two best teams in the league this year, and we've beaten Texas before.
They could very easily have gone 9-3, 10-2 this year. And this is like not even the year that they were supposed to turn the corner.
So everybody talks about Oklahoma because they're in the playoff right now, but in the next, let's say, 3-4 years, I would assume Texas is the team to fear, are they not? They're going to get really good if Herman's as good as people think that
I he think is. That Texas and Oklahoma will both be with those two coaches. I was kind of – I don't want to say I was wrong about Lincoln Riley because I never really doubted him in particular.
Yeah.
I doubted that situation, losing Bob Stoops in the middle of the summer. You know, I just was like – my mindset going into this year was that's just going to be too much for a program to handle. It's not really anybody's fault. I just don't trust it. He's proven a lot to me. I think he'll actually recruit better than Stoops was.
Yeah.
And you know Herman's going to. I mean, I think the Red River deal is going to be legit.
Huge.
Which I think, though, is good for Iowa State. Because when those two programs were down, specifically Texas, you had Baylor and TCU benefiting heavily from that.
Yeah.
And even Texas Tech to a much lesser extent. Like, instead of all those players going to Texas, like, they were dispersed throughout the Big 12 conference.
Yeah.
And that made it harder for Iowa State to get out of the cellar.
Yeah.
So now, like, I'd rather all those five stars go straight to Texas, keep TCU and Baylor in check, and then Iowa State can make a real run at tier two in the Big 12. And if you're at tier two, then you're only a couple of plays away usually from being at tier one.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Let me ask you your opinion on this argument I've been having with my Vegas text group this week. So we've got several Iowa homers in there.
Oh, boy.
Big 10 homers. And I realize you're an Iowa State guy, Big 12 guy. Their argument is using whatever metrics they choose to use, that the Big 10, specifically in football, is this vastly superior, better conference than the Big 12. And they'll use, well, look at our teams at the top. We've got six teams, five teams, whatever it is, with eight or more wins, which is true. You got Northwestern at 9-3, which is, sounds stupid to even say that, but it's true. And my argument to them back is, okay, as of this year, Iowa State had the Big 12 had two crappy teams in its conference. Kansas, which is the worst team in America probably, and Baylor, which has been really good up until these circumstances, which drastically altered their program. So they've got 20%. 20% of the teams stink in the Big 12, at least this year.
Yep.
Then you go over to the Big 10, and you've got Illinois, you've got Minnesota, you've got Nebraska, you've got Rutgers, you've got I think two more.
Minnesota sucks this year.
I think there's six teams out of their 14 that didn't make a bowl game this year. So you got the teams at the top playing these teams that aren't bowl-worthy teams.
Correct.
And that's like 42% of the Big Ten that's garbage this year. I'm like, I try to look at it as fairly as possible. I just don't see it that way.
I think that the Big Ten it's more top-heavy than the Big 12. But I think the Big 12 is significantly deeper. Like when you go to your...
Across the board.
Yeah, I mean, like, Texas could jump up and beat anybody on any night.
Sure.
Right? I mean, could... Well, name a 6-6 team in the Big Ten.
Purdue.
I guess Iowa.
Purdue.
Yeah, I mean, Purdue, I don't know. It's so hard. I think what the Big Ten has... I mean, it's just a stature thing. You've got these Titan coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and... specifically Urban Meyer and Jim Harbaugh. And I think that I think you could even throw Franklin into that. He's getting there.
Yeah.
And you've got these giant stadiums. Mm. So like there's just you look at it and it seems bigger, but I don't necessarily think that
it's more historic.
Oklahoma went into Ohio State and kicked the crap out of them.
I know.
Like, I mean, what else can the Big 12 prove?
I know, but you know what their counter argument to that is? Here it is. Maryland went into Texas and kicked the crap out of them. That's the counter argument.
If
you watch that game,
Texas went 6-6.
Well, obviously that too, but it was incredibly fluky that game. I don't know if you watched that.
Yeah, I did because it was Tom's first game.
Kick returns and all sorts of weird stuff happened in that game.
And it was the first game of a coach's era. Like I think if those two teams played in week two, it would have been different. But that's just an excuse.
Yeah.
Though.
So anyway, that's what Big Ten homers are going to say back to that response. But
man, here's what I don't get. I don't understand why Big Ten and Big 12, other than the whole Cy-Hawk thing.
Yeah.
I don't get why they're at each other's throats. They should be in the same team.
Yeah.
Like, it should
be. They should be anti-SEC.
Yes. They should be anti-SEC and anti-ACC together. Because I think there's clearly a bias towards the SEC in that committee. And I think even the ACC gets a bias as well.
Yeah.
And, like, it drives me nuts every year because I see, like, Big Ten and Big 12 fans bickering back and forth. It's like, you know what? Like, instead of bitching about Jim Harbaugh, you guys should actually love the guy because he's standing up to the SEC. Like, everybody should respect that.
Yeah. So, so playoff will be decided this upcoming weekend or whenever they actually announce Sunday night. Is that where they announce the
actually, finals? Sunday, like right before the NFL games.
Okay, so they'll announce Sunday. And obviously there's a lot to be determined still. What is your prediction for the Final Four?
Oh, man. Okay. So, the ACC winner, let's just say it's Clemson.
Clemson, okay.
Because I think even if Miami would beat Clemson, they'd be in.
Still in, okay.
The SEC winner.
Georgia Auburn.
So let's say Auburn.
Okay.
Clearly, if Oklahoma beats TCU, they are in.
Yep.
And if Wisconsin wins, they are in. Correct. Where it gets sticky is what if Ohio State beats Wisconsin?
Which I think will happen.
So
Wisconsin's out in that case.
I think they'd sneak Bama in.
I agree with that. if that's the only thing that happened. Now, if TCU beats Oklahoma and Ohio State beats Wisconsin, then I think maybe it's Ohio State and Bama.
But shouldn't sneak in. Shouldn't TCU be more in consideration than what people give it? Like, metrics-wise, it's better than Ohio State.
They lost to Iowa State and who else?
Oklahoma.
Upcoming, or they already have.
They've already lost to Oklahoma.
Okay, so they have two losses.
Two road losses to Iowa State and Oklahoma.
Yeah.
They have a better – they didn't get beat by Iowa by 30 points.
Here's the problem, though. Okay, so given that scenario, you've got three teams with the possibility to hop up in there, and you've got Ohio State, you've got Bama. You've
yeah,
got
TCU. They won't let TCU.
They're not sexy enough.
No, that's exactly right.
And that's why it sucks. And I think ultimately the real solution is, because I think people will bitch, but bitch much less, is it's an 8-team playoff. It just is. Because teams 9 and 10 are like, oh, we should have been in. You're 9th and 10th.
Yeah.
Which is way different than being 5th.
Yeah, I agree.
And being out. So
totally agree.
It will go to 8.
TCU will get screwed in that scenario.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
There's no zero doubt in my mind they will get screwed in that scenario.
No. And honestly,
Walters, I mean, did you hear the show yesterday? Walters, we were talking about similar scenario.
Yeah.
And he pointed out, and it made sense, that there's no team that's been screwed more in the playoff era than TCU.
And it's not surprising.
Not because they don't have a huge fan base. They're a private school in Texas.
Yeah, and not relevant really in history.
Correct.
You know, you don't have any.
They don't draw TV ratings like the others.
No, and in that case, in life, most things come down to money. All right, here's another one. Who's tuning in to watch the playoff if it's TCU versus Bama? You're going to get a lot more people. Like Bama or hate them, you still want to see them.
Man, I'm tired of them.
But you at least have to appreciate how damn good they've
been. Oh, there's zero doubt in my mind. I just, like, this year they shouldn't be in. They've played the 54th ranked schedule in the country. Their best win is against Mississippi State.
Yeah.
That's their best win.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a Saban thing. People are going to put them in because...
Even if Oklahoma would lose, I think Oklahoma's resume is better than Alabama's at 11-1, honestly.
It's tough. I mean, the committee has a tough job to do. I think the job gets much easier in an 18 playoff. I think that's where we'll go as soon as they can feasibly do that. It'll go there, and people will love it. It's more money, it's more TV, it's more all that crap. So it's going to happen. I did want to ask you, too. I definitely want to talk about the Tennessee thing because that's really interesting to me. But before I forget, keeping on Iowa State for a second, the talk is, at least a few days ago, Iowa State, Notre Dame in the – which one was it? Which bowl? In Orlando.
Yeah, Camping World Bowl.
Camping World's owned by Marcos Lemonis, by the way. Have you ever seen his show, The Prophet?
No.
CNBC. It's a great show. You should watch it.
Is it like a financial show?
Yeah, he goes around and helps failing businesses. He invests in them and helps them turn it around. It's a really good show.
Huh. Actually,
if you like business, check out The Prophet. So my question is that going to happen? I mean, what's the likelihood? What are you hearing that is going to be the location and that will be the opponent?
Well, I think that it's going to be a jumbled mess, honestly, in the Big 12. I can run through all these scenarios if you want.
Sure. We got nothing else to do.
So this is what I'm hearing. Been working phones the last couple of days. There are a lot of different scenarios. All these bowls are very appealing, or Iowa State's very appealing to all of them because of the fans.
Yep.
And they haven't gone bowling for 5 years. The Camping World Bowl is interesting. Let's say in just this scenario, and I don't think this will happen, but let's say TCU goes to the New Year's Six and Notre Dame slides down to the Camping World Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people projecting Iowa State versus Notre Dame, which could happen, and that'd be a dream scenario. But ask yourself this, if you are the Camping World Bowl, and you can get a Texas versus Notre Dame matchup.
Yeah. Well, the answer to that question comes down to what do they care about? Is it a sellout crowd? Is that their number one priority? Is it television ratings?
Is it TV ratings for your advertisers? Like
that's because Texas Notre Dame is going to be significantly more watched than Iowa State Notre Dame.
Correct.
On TV.
Correct.
Will Texas fans travel to see a Notre Dame game? I assume so. But it's been a 6-6 season, yeah, so maybe not.
And that's a major disappointment at Texas.
How many conceivably would Iowa State send down to Orlando? I mean, 25,000?
More than that. They'd send 40, I bet.
Okay.
I wrote yesterday that I think Iowa State would set a ticket record at that bowl game if they were playing Notre Dame.
Yeah, they could. Yeah.
So there's that to keep in mind. Another thing that I've heard. So Kansas State has a very good traveling reputation, mm-hmm. much like Iowa State. Bill Snyder's never played in that game.
Yeah.
It could be his last game.
Yeah.
So that could be a draw for them to jump Kansas State up into that spot. Now, again, there's a lot of different scenarios there. I personally think they would pick Iowa State over Kansas State.
What's the date of that bowl, by the way?
28th, I think.
28th, okay.
28th.
Okay.
We're doing a charter, by the way.
No matter where it is.
All likeliness, yes.
So the second...
The only one that could get a little muddy is if it's Phoenix, because that's the day after Christmas.
The second option after Camping World is what? For Iowa State.
Well, I mean, there's a possibility they could go to Houston. I think the only way Iowa State goes to Houston is if Texas goes to Orlando.
Okay.
Because Houston's not going to pick Iowa State over Texas.
No, that doesn't make any sense.
Makes no sense. So I personally think it'll be Orlando or Memphis again.
And that's drastically different.
Correct.
I mean, not that Iowa State, you're going bowling, you know, you had a good season, but the cherry on top is a Florida bowl game versus Memphis, you know.
Memphis, I thought was really fun, but the weather was terrible the last time. Well, did you go to that game?
That's part of it. No, but that's part of it,
yeah,
right?
It was just bad the last time. It's usually not like that, but it was bad.
When I talked to former Cyclones that have played in bowls, I mean, one of the worst ones that they bring up is Boise, just because of the weather,
yeah.
Right? It was cold that day. You don't want to play a bowl game in cold weather.
It was snowing in that
game. At least something like, and it was a home game. You know, I mean, they were the road team against Boise State in their own stadium. But at least if it's cold, you want to play somewhere kind of cool, I think, like Yankee Stadium. At least you're like, all right, we're in Yankee Stadium. It's New York City. This is kind of cool. But to be cold and in Memphis is not Orlando, Florida.
The only good thing about Memphis is it's drivable for people.
Yeah.
We will have so we're going through a charter company this year.
So when you're chartering a trip, you are essentially renting a full size airplane and filling it with your own people.
Correct.
So this is a direct flight from Des Moines, I assume,
to wherever,
to Orlando, to wherever. Yeah,
but
when you guys price those things, by the way,
I don't price them now.
Do you? Well, whoever is pricing them, obviously, someone has to factor in profit and all of that stuff. Do you feel like it's still a good deal? Or do you feel like it's just a convenience factor, so people are willing to pay for that?
Both.
Okay.
If it's Orlando, our charter will likely be cheaper than you can fly.
Plus, there's probably something fun to being on a plane that's full of Iowa State fans.
Yeah, and we're going to have like a reception
when
we get there, where it's going to be me and a like Walters and Heft and a bunch of people from the Cyclone Radio Network.
Yep.
So we're going to do a bunch of like cool things for the fans who go on our trip.
Yeah.
But – like, if it's Orlando, you try booking a flight from Des Moines to Orlando in that time of year.
Yeah.
Commercially.
It's hard. Well, not on American. Did you hear their
problem
other day?
But there's also the convenience of it. I mean, when you go with us, you have free transfer. Well, not free. You're paying for it. But transportation from the hotel to the game. Yeah. You have an option. If you want to buy tickets through us, you can. If you want to buy them through the university, you can just decline them through us and buy them through there.
Yep.
I'd actually encourage people to do that because that helps Iowa State. That's, yeah. We're not making any money on the tickets.
Yep.
But yeah, we're actually going through EB Sports Tours. So this is what they do. Mm-hmm. In the past, we've tried to do these charters on our own, and we've done okay.
Yeah.
I think we've kept it really affordable for people, but it's I'm not a travel agent.
So have you guys announced pricing, or are you waiting for the official announcement?
We have to wait for the bowl. And I don't set any of that. Like, EB does all of that now. But the good thing is, so like, we've already got hotel blocks at every possibility where Iowa State could go.
Okay. How many people could fit on a charter like that? What's the
Depends
size?
Depends on how many we need.
Okay. All right.
If we need to add a second plane, we will.
I mean, there is something nice to be able to say, here's my check, and I don't have to do a dang thing. from here.
I would agree.
So the convenience factors were very, nice.
Have you ever flown a charter on one of those deals?
I haven't, no.
It's so freaking nice.
No, I have not.
Oh, my God. It's so much better.
I
used to go. I've done a couple of those with the Gridiron Club back in the day, and it's so much better than flying commercial.
Yeah. What's the major difference, like, actually to the flight itself? Obviously, it's your own group, so.
Just everything, like, from going through security is easier to.
Do you have flight attendants that
That it's work? Just like a normal flight. But then you get there, and you generally, the bus is waiting for you, so you don't have to even go into the airport. You
get
go
off
straight
get
from
the plane,
and you walk right onto the bus.
Yeah. Sounds like a decent way to travel. So,
So ours will be, I promise you this, I mean, I can't give anybody pricing info. We will make it the most affordable one out there.
Yeah, which is nice. Okay, well, let's hope for Orlando. And
I hope it's Orlando. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm not holding my breath, though. The closer we get to this thing, I'm thinking it's going to be Memphis, but we'll see.
You know, again,
I can totally see Pollard cutting a deal with Orlando too, and not like as far as buying more tickets or something like that.
Being willing to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, whatever we need to do. I did want to talk about this Tennessee thing. Get your take on this.
Debacle.
So to recap, so a couple questions for you on this one. To recap, they're about to hire Greg Schiano, who is, for those that don't know, because I don't know if he's even a well-known name, to be honest with you. He was a coach at Rutgers.
I think he is for football people.
He coached Ray Rice, I believe, at Rutgers.
Yeah.
Then went and coached Tampa Bay Bucks, and is currently the defensive coordinator at Ohio State.
Yep.
He's got the Tennessee job, right? It's done. They're scheduling an announcement. He's going to fly in. The plane's waiting on the tarmac, that sort of thing, right?
Yep, yep.
Somebody spearheads it. Some people think it was Clay Travis. I don't know if he's actually the culprit or not, but somebody started spearheading. Wait a minute. There's a link between Sandusky at Penn State and Schiano. Allegedly, what happened is Mike McQuarrie, who was at Penn State and who did witness Sandusky with kids, said during this investigation, this other coach told me that Schiano also witnessed activity.
Yep.
Right? That other coach and Schiano both said, no, that's not true.
Correct.
Right? So this is all based 100% on hearsay.
Correct.
Based on all of this, though, you've got people down at the University of Tennessee literally spray painting on rocks things about child rape.
Correct.
And it went from 0 to 1,000,000 miles an hour in like 2 hours on social media.
Yeah.
You've got politicians and governors and all sorts of stuff weighing in and saying, no, you can't hire this guy. So Tennessee absolutely cannot hire this guy. So my question is a couple of things. One, the inmates were running the asylum, so to speak, on this one. The fans literally ruined this hire for the University of Tennessee. They're like, we're not going to support this guy, and they ended it. Do you think fans should have the power to do that, one? And two, due process. You know, the guy's got a job at Ohio State. He's good enough to work there as their D coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, it's come out that Ohio State and Tampa both vetted him.
And said there's nothing here,
correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So what are your overall thoughts on this?
This is such a massive topic. Jeez. Overall thoughts is... Well, let's pick it apart. Should the fans have a say? I mean, I think the obvious answer is yes, to an extent. They're the ones supporting it, right? They're the ones who, without the fans, none of this would happen, right?
Yeah.
These guys wouldn't be making millions of dollars.
Sure.
These jobs wouldn't even be there without the fans. So I think to a point, like, the fans should have a little bit of responsibility in this. However... Like, fans don't know everything.
Yep.
Like, we live in a world now where fans are more educated than they've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sites like ours exist to educate fans, right? And
well,
they weren't there 20 years ago.
There's recruiting sites,
yeah, like,
you know, all about the players.
That stuff, like, back in the day, like, you had to wait, like, once a month, you get your recruiting magazine in the mail. Or that was just for, like, a really small portion of the fan base, too. So... Like, fans are more educated than they've ever been, but they still don't know everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes it hard for me sometimes, because it's like, well, you know, this, and I don't think this is actually what happened at Tennessee, but just as an example, it's like, you don't like Shiano. Well, you don't know. Like, that AD could have talked to five guys before that that you just don't know about, right? There's just so much out there that we don't know.
Sure.
So that makes it hard for me to, like, say that, yeah, fans should be dictating who gets hired. Because if that was the case, you know, I mean, I'm sure there were people who didn't like Matt Campbell at first or Steve Prohm at first or – hell, a lot of people didn't want Fred to be the coach at first because he had never coached before, right?
Yep.
Like, what if, like, a rebellion would have been led against that? Why would you hire a guy with no coaching? That actually is an unprecedented thing that they did when they hired Fred.
Yep.
He'd never coached before. Mm-hmm. And you're going to hire him to coach a Big 12 program? Yeah. That's insane. But Pollard knew something.
Trusted his gut.
Yeah, and it worked. And it doesn't always work. There's no guarantees in this. But I don't know, man. I think that that's why it comes down to just you got to have great leadership at these places. And you, at some point as a fan, you just have to trust the people who are in the leadership. And doing what Tennessee people did was that's why I've been touting for 2 months that it's not that great of a job anymore. Because
well, especially now.
Yeah.
I mean, it might not have been before this.
But it's just like, man, like just let's say Matt, for instance. Would you – why would he want to go there? If you go 7-5 next year, they're still going to want your ass.
Money is the ultimate answer to that.
Yeah, but you
one.
Can make money in Ames. And like, let's say that they're going to pay you $4.5 million in Knoxville. You can make $3.5 million in Ames.
Yeah,
like big difference. Like,
so Tennessee finds himself in a very very difficult position. They've got an ex coach that's mad tweeting at him, making fun of him with Kim Jong Un references. Which is pretty funny, if you ask me. They're on to, what, their 9th, 10th choice at this point. Nobody wants the job. What do they do down there? I mean, there's no home run hire at this point.
Well,
no,
yeah,
for
like
them.
You're gonna have to overpay to get a like your 10th choice.
What the hell do they do at this point? Just go get an unknown assistant.
They're talking to that NC State guy right now,
which nobody's excited about.
No.
I heard that there are people already lining up at the ticket office to say that we're not going to renew our tickets if this guy's hired.
Like, yeah, who do you get?
I think a lot of this happened because the link to the Penn State stuff seems to be bogus, right? They used that as an excuse for why we can't have this guy, even though he'd been vetted by other jobs and cleared.
Yeah.
I think it happened because they just weren't excited about Greg Schiano. It wasn't a splashy name for them. They didn't like it from the get-go. You know, unless it's a, you know, whoever your top guys are, your Mike Leach, a known name. I mean, Schiano's known in the football world, but there's nothing flashy about the guy. There's nothing that's going to excite you about him. So if it had been a bigger name up front, even linked to something like that, I think they would have hired him.
I don't know why people were, other than the Penn State thing, which I think has kind of been used as a scapegoat.
Yeah.
I don't think Shiano would have been a bad hire. Do you?
Well, he's not going to be any worse than Butch.
I mean, the guy won at Rutgers.
Yeah. It took him a while. One of the points about it was
the Big East,
he did,
which is different.
It took him, I think, 5 years to start winning at Rutgers. It wasn't an overnight turnaround. I mean, Rutgers was terrible. Now they're back to being
terrible. But, like, of all the guys who have been, like, tossed around, he's as good as anybody.
The thing that I'm reminded of now, though, based on the news yesterday,
the Purdue guy would have been good.
The Purdue guy would have been good, but he's out of the mix now.
Think about that.
Herm Edwards is back in the game, though, now.
I saw that.
The guy's been retired for quite a while. He's back in the game.
Think about this. Head coaches at Iowa State and Purdue have elected to stay put instead of going to Tennessee.
I know. Times change. What is still out there other than Tennessee that's left to be filled?
Nebraska.
You've got A&M, which sounds like it's going to be Jimbo Fisher.
So then you're going to have Florida State.
Going to have Florida State. Sounds like Frost is a lock to go to Nebraska.
He's going to Nebraska.
Mike Leach staying put where he is?
Probably. Because I thought maybe Mississippi State would make a run at him. They didn't. I don't know why Tennessee doesn't run at Leach. To me, like, that's a no-brainer right now. Would you either have Leach or this NC State coach? Come on.
Leach, for sure.
But they said that the fact that he sued Texas Tech is why they're not interested in him. I read a report.
That's right.
And if anybody would look into the Texas Tech thing, if you're a rational human being, you would side with Mike Leach in that.
Does that have to do with the locking the player in the closet or whatever he did?
It was Craig James's kid.
Yeah.
And I like that's all alleged, like how that all happened. Like there's, and then you had the whole deal where Texas Tech still hasn't paid him for that last year. Well, that's why he's suing them.
Yeah,
because they owe him money.
Yeah, I don't blame him for that. Mike Leach is a bit of an enigma in that he apparently has a gruff side when it comes to handling players. But if you watch his press conferences, it's classic, dude.
Oh, they're the
best. Guy's got a sense of humor for sure.
They're the best, man. And he, like a lot of people now, will be like, "Oh, he's doing that as a show." No, he's not. I covered the guy 15 years ago. Well, not 10 years. Probably like 10 years ago when he was at Texas Tech doing the exact same stuff. He just didn't see it on social media all the time.
And now
the guy's changed a bit.
He's given marital advice.
Oh, my God. That was so great.
Everything about – I like everything about him. And he's won. He's won where he's gone. So that's a big one. Who would Florida State get? Is there an obvious candidate for them?
Well, that's a great job, man. They could poach some people. Yeah. That's a great job.
Yeah, and it sounds like it's going to be open. Did you see?
And I don't know. I haven't even thought about who would go there. I mean, that's a in my opinion, that's a better job than Florida.
No, for sure.
Just because you're in the ACC, your route's a lot easier to get to the playoff.
For sure, it is.
There's a lot of people who could go to Florida State. Like, you have certain guys who would leave, like, really good jobs to go to Florida State, I would think.
Taggart, is he on that list?
Taggart would probably be on that list.
It just, yeah, it's hard to, the fact that Florida and Florida State are bad this year is.
What about that guy at Memphis? He's really good. Norvell?
Jay?
Yeah.
He's a former clone, right? He had connections here. I'm almost positive. Wasn't he assistant coach?
Maybe back in the day.
At Iowa State? Let me look this up. This is the type of thing people that listen to this and like, yeah, he was, or no, whatever.
Yeah,
people know the history.
If we get it wrong. We just get
idiots.
Blown up.
Idiots. I'm pretty sure he was, but I'm going to look here.
He's legit. What about Bob Stoops to Florida State?
Why did the guy retire, though?
Maybe he wanted to get out of – I think that he's going to be the next head coach at Notre Dame. That's my prediction.
You said Memphis. Norvell's at Nevada. Is that what you meant?
No. Who's the head coach at Memphis?
Why am I thinking Justin?
Memphis head coach. Mike Norvell. Yeah.
Mike. Yeah, I'm thinking Jay Norvell.
Jay Norvell was the guy who...
Jay Norvell played at Iowa, by the way.
Jay Norvell is the guy who Marty Terrell's dentist said was going to be the head coach when Pollard got the job.
Oh, so Marty's dentist
Wait a
wrong.
Second. That was Mike Stoops, but Jay Norvell was in that mix. I think he was interviewed. I think that's what you're thinking of.
I'm almost positive he coached here. How would I find this out? What's the best site for this, by the way?
Wikipedia. Hold on, I'll find it.
Jay Norvell, Iowa State. Let's just do that.
This here. Is some great.
Hey, this is how it goes. All right, so shut it. Well, he definitely played at Iowa.
An Iowa State quarterback and wide receivers coach from '95 to '97.
There you go.
And then he went to the Indianapolis Colts to be the wide receivers coach.
There you go. So I didn't dream it.
Yeah, and he was Nebraska's offensive coordinator from 04 to 06, and that's when he was a candidate.
Okay.
He went to Oklahoma from there, and he was a candidate to be the head coach.
Got it. All right. So for those of you that are pulling your hair out, we apologize.
Yeah, and he's now the head coach at Nevada.
And not doing well. 3-8.
They went 3-9.
Something not very good. The whole Tennessee thing, it'll be very interesting to see who actually takes the job there. The good news is it sounds like Tennessee is going to save a lot of money over what they would have had to have paid
unless they get sued from Greg Schiano.
That's another interesting thing.
They probably will for like damages.
They had a memo of understanding. Is that what it is?
Yeah, but if I'm Schiano, I fire them for getting my name drug through the mud.
Yeah, you have to prove who did that, I guess, right? It was it Tennessee saying, oh, wait, he's linked to Penn State when he wasn't? Or is it someone else that started that? That goes back to the Clay Travis thing and who started it. Somebody started it. No, this guy won't work because of this, right? And then it went from there. You know, and Clay Travis is a big Tennessee fan. He's like, that's his team, etc. He's got a big audience in social media, so I think he was kind of the impetus behind this.
Clay
to get
thinks,
it going.
I've heard a lot of interviews with him, and Clay thinks that he doesn't have any grounds to sue him. But I and Clay's a lawyer by trade.
He is.
So I would be, but I would be interested because I think that that's got like.
I mean, it's slander in nature. If you're saying child rapist and it's not true and it cost the guy millions of dollars, there might be a case there.
Yeah,
maybe.
What gets hairy though is like the libel and stuff because I mean Clay is a public figure who is. Basically makes his living on giving opinions.
Which he's doing, yeah.
And really what he did was cite a court document as to why he didn't want the guy to be the coach, as ridiculous as it turns out to be.
If he says, hey, listen, this is what the documents say, this coach said this, that's one thing. If he goes on and says...
he's a child rapist.
Yeah, if he goes on and says Schiano rapes kids, that's a totally different thing.
Correct.
So I don't know. There might be a case there. The other interesting thing was, I guess it was not signed by the chancellor or the president or whatever, this memorandum of understanding, whatever it is, was not signed by the person that would have needed to sign off. So that's way above my pay grade for sure. But I think if the guy had the job, like I said, he had the job and then it got snatched from him for things that allegedly did not happen. So that would be frustrating. Meanwhile, he's still the defensive coordinator at Ohio State, and he's got a big game coming up.
So you're going Ohio State over Wisconsin?
Yeah. I'm not a believer in Wisconsin. I'll tell you exactly why I'm not a believer in Wisconsin. I think their quarterback is terrible.
Hornibrook?
I think he's terrible. He's got a terrible name, and he...
I love Hornibrook as a name.
Have you watched many Wisconsin games? Did you see him against Iowa? Some of the throws he made. The dude is not good,
man. But
they win in spite of their quarterback.
Is Ohio State that good though?
Ohio State is.
They lost by 30 to Iowa.
That's such an anomaly, though.
I know.
You know, just a bad game. They happen. You know, the points would throw people off there.
Man,
right?
It's to me like this comes down to Urban Meyer versus Paul Chryst.
I just get this sense that Ohio State's going to roll them.
I'm probably with you.
You know, I'm not even talking close. I'm talking 21-plus points.
So if they do that, will they sneak into the playoff over Bama, or will Bama sneak in at 11-1?
Well, the reason Bama sneaks in is Obama is placed higher right now than Ohio State.
Yeah,
is.
But remember that one year where Ohio State jumped from like 6 to 3 or whatever.
I mean, and this goes back. It links exactly to the reason why I think that Ohio State rolls Wisconsin. Because it benefits them greatly to do so. It's their only chance, right? You've just beaten an undefeated team that's, what, 2 or 3 in the playoff rankings right now. If they go and they beat them by 28, 35, something like that, that's going to look really impressive against a Bama that's not playing. That's going to be huge. So I don't expect – Ohio State has to try to do that. It makes no sense, you know, 17-14 win. No, they're not getting in. If it's 63-21, that's tough to ignore.
I would agree with that.
So I would expect big points, or at least, you know, Wisconsin has a defense, at least an attempt to do that from Ohio State's perspective. I think they're going to air it out. They're going to try to do what they do to get there. Ultimately, I still see Bama sneaking in because it's Bama. I do.
We'll see.
You may hate it, but it is what it is.
No, I don't. I may hate it, but I can't argue it. Tell me about your new – what can you tell us about the Charter House announcements?
I can tell you that the announcement is next week.
Okay. But I thought we were going to tease today.
No, we can tease it. Yeah, we're definitely making a change around here that involves – I can say it involves a merger of some type. And I can say, too, this is one thing that I've always felt a little bit bad about. Over the last couple of years we've been doing this, there's been a number of people that have reached out to me and said, hey, we want to buy a home. And in those instances, based on the old way that we've done things or have done things, I said, hey, great, love to have you, but you're going to go get shown homes by people that aren't me.
Yeah.
Just because that was the structure of how the company worked. And the good news is those people, I think, got great service from Amy and Sarah.
Absolutely.
That would help them do that. Under what we're going to move to in the future, the people that call me and say, hey, I want to see a home, it's probably going to be me that they're working with. So for those that didn't want me, sorry. For those that didn't want to actually spend some time and have me help you show a home, then you're probably going to get me in the future. I'll say why next week and how everything is changing. but for now I can't. So definitely tune in next week, because next week I'll let everybody know what's happening.
I'm just telling you right now, we need to figure next week out, because I'm going on a trip with my wife has a work trip.
Yeah.
To San Diego.
A puppy convention?
Something like that. All right. And I'm going out there to hang out with Bryce Miller.
Yeah, Bryce, yeah. Is Keith Murphy jealous?
I'm sure they're in the Bahamas together right now.
I know, it's
right
his
now.
Best buddy.
Yeah, and then Bryce is going to get back, and I'm going to go and shack up with him for a few nights. Okay. So I leave on Wednesday.
Okay.
So maybe we need to record on Tuesday.
We'll figure it out.
Or I mean, I could always send Stansberry in here. But if we're going to have an important business discussion, I don't know if you want.
Should we bring Adam Gray back on?
No.
No.
I think we're okay.
I think we're okay. Oh, I love it. I love it. So yeah, next week.
The podcast could be on like Tuesday, potentially.
Maybe we record Tuesday and we don't release until
whatever.
Later in the week.
We'll figure that out.
We always
Tuesday. So here's what we'll do. If you're cool with doing Tuesday, there's basketball on Monday night.
Yeah.
And we can do like Cy-Hawk basketball preview.
We could.
On Tuesday.
We could.
Because Cy-Hawk basketball is on Thursday. I'm going to miss my first Cy-Hawk basketball game in like over a decade. I'm kind of depressed.
Yeah, that's coming up on the 7th, right?
Next Thursday.
7th.
Week from today. Yeah.
What do you expect out of that game real quick? We'll preview it, but if you won't be here.
Cy-Hawk basketball?
Yeah.
We're going to preview it.
Are you?
Wow. Real quick. Breaking news.
What do we got?
Keep in mind, this is 11:30 a.m. on Thursday. I think that Iowa still has more talent than they've been showing.
Yeah.
I think Fran's have an identity problem, much like Iowa State did very early in the year.
Yeah.
And Iowa State's getting better. I still don't think that they're a tournament team. But, like, at least now when you watch Iowa State, Mark, it's like, oh, this is what they're trying to do. These are your three best players. Those guys are really talented. Now let's build on this.
Yeah.
And you see where you're at. Come Big 12 time. Iowa, to me, looks a lot like Iowa State did the first couple games. Better.
Mm-hmm.
Because Iowa State was atrocious in those games. But they're just a bunch of guys running around.
Yeah.
And I don't see any rhyme or reason for whatever they're doing.
One of the good things about basketball is the number of games in a season. Unlike football, when you get off to 0-3, it's like, all right, we suck. No bowl game. Basketball, it's November. You can stink at the beginning. You can right the ship. There's plenty of time to do that. Again, you said last time, you know, Iowa State's not going to probably they won't be in the basement of the Big 12. They'll probably be down towards the lower part of it. But you never know.
What I'm seeing now, though, Mark, like that team, I feel like the crowd's going to enjoy watching them play, which is what worried me at the beginning of the year, that they wouldn't enjoy. And if that's the case, if Iowa State fans appreciate your effort, Hilton will be rocking, and they'll be able to beat some teams in Hilton.
Yeah.
They should be able to win five Big 12 games in Hilton.
Hopefully the Hawks are one of those wins coming up. That'd be nice.
Yeah. Do you agree with me, though? I mean, Iowa's more talented than they're playing, I feel like.
Should be.
I think Iowa State, though.
Should be, based
Iowa
on
State
who they
has
have.
Better guards than they do. I'll go on record with that right now.
Isn't that always the case?
Yeah, but I didn't think that'd be the case this year. But I'd take Wigginton over Bohannon in a heartbeat, and I'd take Weiler Babb over Moss.
Yeah. I think it's good. Those games are competitive. They always are. I mean, two years ago is when Iowa was unreal in the first half. Utah scored, close to 30 points in the first half.
Scored 2 points in the second half.
And we came back and we won that, right?
Yeah, they threw Matt Thomas on Utah.
And it was, I mean, that's what you hope for. I mean, I realize a lot of Iowa State fans just want to beat them down. I'm going to be at that game. I just want a good game. It's just more fun.
I'd rather Iowa State beat them down.
I know. I know. I don't want to sit there and watch, you know, the 30 point win. Where that was epically awesome was when we did that at their place a few years back, and we just kicked the crap out of them. That was a fun game.
The Niang kiss.
I was there. What would this have been? It would have been 4 years ago.
Yeah.
When we went down there and just destroyed them at their place.
Yeah.
Oh, that was fun.
That's good stuff.
That was good.
All right, Mark. Have a great weekend.
Tune in next week for the big announcement.
Thanks for listening, everybody.